phela mina ngiyinsizwa mina yinsizwa.
Hey Wednesday, welcome to the Shady Podcast. I'm Waras the Shady Lurker. Today I'm riding solo. PH is traveling to Iran. Just went to check out what's going on there. He will be back, we have confirmed, with Donald Trump. But I'm not alone. I'm joined in the studio this week by our guest and my co-host today, our Kiwe Suitability Corner in the house.
Dango.
What up, boy?
Fantastic, my brother. How's it going?
I'm top togo. Straight out of Shaka Ilembe, straight out of Suitability Santin.
Yeah.
Straight out of Suitability Mshanga.
Yazin.
How did you fit us in, Mganam?
Hey, Mfeto. No, it's this is a great opportunity for me.
Yeah.
I like talking nonsense. I like talking stuff about fashion, beautiful things, business, and everything in between. So, man, I'm honored to be here. I look forward to Ngasho.
And I love how dapper you're looking. This man is always killing it. Like, whenever I check your Instagram, it's like, obviously, you know, they say Instagram is where we put, like, it's like our billboard.
Short.
But if you look at this man's post, he's in his billboard era every morning and every night. So, do you own a tracksuit?
You know, I'm struggling this winter, dude. Yeah. Like, I have to wear something, nekiken poboza.
Nazo.
Young Tola, that's how bad things
and no
are. No
sock,
sneakers.
Bro. Like,
you know, secret socks, because the rules say you can't rock loafers with full-on socks.
You can't. Oh, my goodness. The thing.
But yeah, no, that's the price we pay for swag. Young
it's
Tola.
Too much pressure. I want to go back to where you started your journey, because I didn't know this info. I thought you were just someone who always loved fashion, and fashion was your thing, and that's where you got on.
Sure.
But you actually studied not just... This is important for me. It's important for me because there's a lot of people who are like, no, I studied. But then you say, okay, cool. What did you study? I know corporate communication. Okay. Right? Well, you're like, what did you study? I know I did my BA general.
Yeah.
And then, you know what
Extended.
I'm saying? Like, degrees are not the same.
Yeah.
You studied actuarial sciences.
Yes.
Now, that is like the top 1% of 1%. Are the people who study that. It's not a field that you just leave.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Even if it's to pursue fashion.
Yeah.
How did the actuarial science journey come about? And why the hell did you study that?
Yeah, so Elokshini.
Yeah.
So I matriculated at a school called Lubone.
Okay.
And Jim Tsekha, unfortunately, closed that school down because of poor performance.
Well, not you.
Yeah, of course. Well,
okay, it must have been after you.
The lucky few. But,
when did you matriculate?
2011.
Right.
Yeah. So that's when the school was closed down. Said, you know what? We're closing down the school. Whatever grades will follow, we'll move to a school called Bears Nodier in Etube.
Etube, right.
Yeah. So this was in Fula Central.
So all the kids were now reassigned.
Yeah, they were now reassigned. So what happened was maths and physics were a big thing at our school. And we didn't do so well as a school. But what was driven was, you know what? Get to learn maths and physics, be good at it, and go study actuarial science. Because currently, there's less than 1,000 black qualified actuaries. Or in fact, there's less than 1,000 qualified actuaries for
in
that
total,
matter.
In the country.
In total.
Yeah.
And black, there were about 20 at the time. Mm. That was 2011. So I was like, oh, my boy, I'm going for it, you know. And when I did my investigations where, you get to wear a suit, because I loved the idea of rocking in a suit.
That's where it started.
And we're going there. And then I made a pact with myself because everyone told me, you know, people commit suicide, they fail and they life score.
Yeah, well, that's what I've also heard. I've heard it's actually so difficult. It drives people mad.
Yes. So
others have like those mental breakdowns that you don't return from. It's like the Navy SEAL training in the army. This is that of studying.
Yes.
So we've heard.
So it was quite true. I mean, I have friends that actually went through that kind of, you know, and it's unfortunate that they haven't recovered. I mean, that's what, almost 10 years later.
Yes.
You know, so it's crazy.
So what was your gift? What did you matriculate with, like 6 distinctions or something?
Yeah, so it was 6. I did isZulu. I'm Xhosa.
Right.
I did isZulu. And... funny enough, I was the highest in my school, and I had, so that's the distinction that I missed.
Okay.
I couldn't do paper 3 because they told, no, it's too difficult, you can't do it, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got 6 distinctions. My average was 94. percent.
Yes, yes. And then,
and they called us. My principal called me the day before.
Yeah.
It's like, Antoine, as in, no, Dwadla, Antoine, we're mnandi. Yang told us, yeah, wangena, da
evets. Yeah, evets.
Yeah, Linder Auditorium.
Yes.
The awards. Mang figa da, hey, what are no, salan in order. Salan out, he, then he's sitting there, and, you know, and they say, no, you sit here. And then there's three other guys, and,
and you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, no, they haven't told me. I haven't seen my results.
Yeah.
You know, we get there. They're like, okay, the top five. They 1, 2, 3.
Damn.
I'm like, number 2? Yeah. Which one is this one? Young Tola.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Then I go there, get my awards. It was Nomvula Mkonyane at the time.
At the
she
time,
was the
premier
of Gauteng. It's like, no, this is insane.
Yo.
They call me again. They're like, you got everything correct in physics. I'm like, I never.
100% in physics.
Dude, I wrote that paper. I know there's a question I didn't answer. I'm like, which one is this one? You know? But anyway, my pact I had done in my matric year was, if no one writes about my success, if I'm not on television about my success, I'm not studying actuarial science. Lo and behold,
you had a whole evening dedicated to
it. It was crazy. Yeah. And then the articles and the news, I was like, we're going for that actuarial science. First year we get in, like, I know everything. First
at
test.
Vets, ne?
Yeah. Vets, first test, 15%. Koala.
Yes, sirs. You know what I mean? Six distinctions. They
you
took
know.
Your award back.
Yes, but like, I was Alawena. Call me so. But anyway, we had to soldier on. It was a very difficult experience.
Yeah.
But we graduated from it, and then I joined corporate. Had quite a bit of a stint from 2016 until 2021. That's when I left corporate to pursue business full time.
Okay, where were you working in corporate?
So I joined the First Rand Group for the FNB private banking space.
Yes.
So we're doing pricing.
Right.
So we were in the premium and business core banking as well, doing pricing, supporting pricing for the RMB private wealth as well. So it was mainly transactional pricing that we're dealing with at the time. And then I left FNB, went to Old Mutual, did pure short-term actuarial pricing, where basically we build a model of, okay, waras, your age, the
your
vehicle
age,
that you drive,
your
everything.
Customer profile, everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we use historical data, build models to say, is inja as fana na waras, intes tan, intes color fresh.
Yeah.
The moment they drive a vehicle of a, let's say, a 6-liter vehicle or a 4-liter, best believe they're going to speed in it.
Yeah, 4-liter V8, you fly.
Exactly, you fly in it, Yang Tol. Then this is the damages that we see. So this is the frequency. The chances of it happening is this much. And the severity of it. To say, how much would we pay if this happened? Then we multiply it together and fuse it together in a model.
In order to create,
to
a product for
a
the bank.
Proper
to,
product, exactly. Yeah. Then would, that's the main role that we did when we were at Old Mutual. And then we moved from there, went to Discovery. They were launching the bank.
The bank,
the initial.
And you were there on that team.
Was that team. Then we built the bank from scratch. We were the people were responsible for the analytics to say, who are we going to invite first?
Yes,
where are
we
going to
get targeting?
You get what I mean?
Do we stop Waras when he's walking in the airport and say, don't you want to open a Discovery bank? And then I said, yes, because I could see their queue moves faster.
Exactly.
I was like, yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
So that's where I was for a bit of a few years. Then I went back to F&B, this time for corporate pricing. You know, so that's where things went.
This is the same model for businesses. What's corporate pricing?
So corporate pricing, in this case, it was credit pricing for corporates. Right. You know,
credit
so to say, okay, cool.
Yeah. How much can we loan
this guy?
Waras and PH there.
Yes,
okay.
We're seeing the profile, their profile as a business or a group of businesses in the same industry. How do they, you know, how do they perform?
Well, you guys did a terrible job because they refused to give us money. So I don't know what you wrote about.
I don't
about
want to touch on that because, it's a very... interesting topic too.
You know why I'm asking is because what informs am I right in assuming you guys are the team behind how the bank makes its credit decisions? In other words, you know, like people are always on social media talking about I applied for a bond, they didn't give me, I'm black.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, yes, you are black, But what else are you from a credit profile perspective?
Exactly.
I mean, you guys deal with numbers. You know what I'm saying?
So to be fair,
yeah.
How it works, there are two things that can be true at the same time.
You're right.
Young Tol. Abotaki, we are previously disadvantaged.
Yes.
We do not have collateral.
100%.
My father didn't give me a piece of land to say, Mfondin,
here's your land. Or a house or
you get
anything,
what I mean.
Really, yeah.
So when I come to be scored for credit, there are a lot of things that we are looking at as far as the profile is concerned, and it's informed by data. So it's not something that people, you know, just think about.
Yes.
So
you don't just look at the person and
just
say, this one.
You actually
unlikely.
Would never know. This, I mean, I'm a cause and what, Tom. Their surnames, Andrew Tom, you know, or Tom in this case, you know. So you never
Andrew
know
Tom
if it
rejects
exactly. But also, even though they might ask you for your race,
yes,
it's not fed into the model.
Right.
It's just for statistical purposes. It's against the law basically to use race to grade. But what ends up happening is because when I'm a black person, this is your profile, and it's unfortunate because of the inequality. And then what you end up seeing is that, you know what, according to historical data, people default.
Yes.
You know, I understand.
And then the just bank because, can't afford to just ignore that.
Exactly. Because that's where. So there are times where the banks become very sensitive with credit. They just try to make sure that we are profiling people correctly, you know. And of course, there are, credit tribunals. That's, I don't know, it's a credit forum where. You know, you bring a case and say, you know what, can we do discretionary, have a discretionary pricing for a business? Because we've seen their profile or how much business they've got with us or other products within the bank. So there's a lot of factors that go into actually formulating if a person does really qualify for a product or not.
My brother, you should have never left actuarial science. Like the way you articulate a con. I thought it's interesting because, you know, looking at some of the things you've worked on, like, for example, Discovery Bank at its inception, you know, you were on that team when they decided, hey, we're launching a bank.
Yes.
You know, so to say, in your career as an actuary, you were at the top. Do you know what I mean? It's not like the career wasn't going well. Then I said, outing police
Tom.
You know what I'm saying? Like you didn't like say, I give up here. This is not going well.
Yeah.
It sounds like you really did well in that career. Is it something you left? Would you say? So you didn't leave it because you hated it?
No, not quite.
Mm.
I think, you know what's interesting? It's beautiful that I had a conversation that I had with my wife yesterday about calling and careers.
Mm.
So a career is what I decided I want to do. I told myself, I want to be different. I want, when people ask me, what are you? I say, I'm an actuary.
Right.
And you know, actually, what are you talking about? You know what I mean?
So
it was beautiful. And then when I explain what I do, you know, to be honest, I struggled a year after I left my job for the entire year, you know, to say, how do I brand myself? You know, to say,
What am I now?
Yeah, what am I? You
You're
know?
Still an actuary.
Yeah, I still.
It's almost, you're an unemployed actuary.
Yes, exactly.
Now you are one of us with a bad credit profile.
Young taller.
Now you are living in mid-range.
Young taller. Yeah, Kemche, Zazeni. Young taller. Brits and the TV. No, Ottoman. Young taller. And a nice GTI outside, my bro. Young taller.
You mid-range niggas actually are looking at you.
It's like, this loser.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the setup. But what I grew to understand as well was that was what I chose to do. And I was good at it, pretty good at it, you know. I had my own struggles, you know, trying to fit into a space that I'm a creative.
Yes.
You know, at heart. And I didn't know that, you know. And people would look. I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I went to a Shagalembe screening. A guy literally took off my jacket from me and he bought it on the spot.
He was like, I must have this.
I must have this.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll have time to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's calling. That's a calling.
Yes.
When you design something, you put it together and people say, Hey, I bet I have that.
That's it. It's an art form. It's art.
Exactly.
You know, people always say with art, it's supposed to invoke feelings. When I look at it and when you look at it, we're going to feel different.
100%.
But when someone can look at what you're wearing and say, no, I need to be wearing that now.
Yes.
Not, hey, where'd you get that? Oh, yeah. I'll pop in the week, you know?
Exactly. So that's where it came from. And then I was like, no, this is what I'm called to do.
Mm.
And what I'm a Christian and I believe in destiny and what God wants for me.
Mm.
And he made sure that I leave my job.
Mm.
He made it very difficult. Like, you know what? Your expenses that you have right now, because I'd been running my business since I started working as a side hustle.
But as a side, the business was the side hustle and the actuary was the main hustle. Yeah.
And I went in and amassed a lot of overheads, right? For example, we were running an entire studio where clients would come and consult. And we were running, I had bought a farm that we've turned into a wedding venue now.
Right.
And I was like, with my salary, I can't afford this.
Mm.
And then now I'm
now you having to cover it out of your pocket.
Exactly. So now
and
I'm
you
like,
don't have the credit profile.
So now I'm looking, I'm like, okay, actually you're going to do this for me, my brother. But business is demanding this and it's also offering this. You're not. Nah, screw the safety net. I'm going.
That's it. You've got to take the risk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my boss told me, okay, if ish hits the fan, the doors are always open. I'm like,
You can come back. Yeah. You were like, it's like you have to make it work. Did you feel like, I must make this work?
It had to.
Would you say that, because like you say, you're creative at heart.
Yes.
But would you say that you're also an academic in that, you know, 6 distinctions is no joke. Top 5 achievers, no joke. Is that, would you say that the academics was almost overshadowing your creativity? Because, you know, sometimes it's like my origin story is when I did BCom Investment Management. It was a finance and economics degree.
Sure.
And I wanted to be a stockbroker. In my mind, right? This was the
Wall
dream.
Street.
I watched Wall Street. I was like, fuck it. This is what I have
to do. You're going, my boy.
And when I, long story short, obviously I went, I worked in corporate. I had like an internship job because I hadn't even finished my degree.
Yeah.
And what I was doing there, I thought was going to be a part. You know, you want to go, you want to work, you want to get into something.
Yes.
And while you're working in that something, what do you want to do? You want to finish your studies.
Yes.
And then I'm going to get this. Then I'm going to go. So I'm thinking like academically because my mom, everybody always thought, hey, this guy is smart. I got 4 distinctions.
Yeah.
So then.
Proper.
Not as smart as you. If you then go and say, okay, I'm going to be a DJ.
Oh.
They're like, why would you waste that brain on this nonsense? You know what I'm saying? Like people assume you do the creative thing because like, you're not clever or you weren't an academic, you don't have a qualification, you don't have a degree. That's why you're doing this. You know, like almost like a no choice thing. But it was never like that for me. What was it like for you?
So I think I also struggled quite a bit to say, you know, my mom was more worried about, but are you serious about what you are doing?
Could you work you in know, the bank? Like,
dude, like this thing, to date, people still call me for job interviews.
Right.
To say, no, we've got a senior
like
come through, you know. I'm like, hey, guys, you know. So there is that. And then there is, you know what? If you look at business people, they are street business people who literally came from the streets. You know, they rose through the ranks of the streets and then they became big, you know. And if you look at businesses run by intellectuals, the way they move, oh my God,
it's different.
It's different, you know. So whatever an intellectual does, they have got precision. They do it the best way they can.
Mm.
It's calculated. It's not just weak ass moves, you know. And at the end of the day, you see, well, okay, no, this person has got a good head over their shoulders.
There's a strategy behind
exactly, it. You know. So for me, you can say, you know. And I'm like, but hey, this one is crazy. I mean, I build models, pricing models for my business.
Yes, you know? I was just thinking, these are things you bring into the business that...
Exactly.
If you weren't an actuary, you'd have to hire one to look at these things, especially when you're scaling it up.
100%. Yeah. So, I mean, we are building a product now where we hire suits out, you know?
Right.
So being in the bank made me understand that you need to do competitor analysis. Mm. You just don't go in and say, my product costs this much, these are the cost of sales, then I need to price it this way. No, I want margins of this much. There are other factors that you need to consider. Mm. And also be always on your feet, try to understand the new trends, what's happening. You know, there's something that I wasn't aware of entirely.
Mm.
Pay just now. PayFlex. Mm. Happy Pay.
Right.
You know, because I've always dealt with high-end customers who always pay, you know.
Yeah, they swipe.
You know, and then like, okay, no, this is where everything is moving. People are, you know, they're happy to buy a garment and pay off for 4 installments.
Right. So there's like new fintech in the works that's assisting customers to get what they want.
Exactly. Yeah. So those are things that you need to always be, you know, on top of and understand. You know,
things like that used to, like where I grew up in Vryheid, there was an option at a lot of the stores. It was like the done thing those days. You could lay by
exactly
an item.
Yeah.
So you come, that way you're guaranteeing yourself two things. One, if you pay, you will eventually get it.
Yes.
Two, you won't chow the money for the item every month and end up saying, I want to save it myself. Because sometimes when you save it yourself, you end up using it.
Mm.
And number three, if you start lay buying the garment, let's say, for example, in February, you know that by winter,
you are sorted.
That's only when you need it. Mm. I don't need this jacket in Feb.
In Feb.
I want the jacket for June, you know? Mm. And lay by, it was almost like, it was frowned upon.
Yes.
But it's actually such a clever system. It's like
exactly,
you're saying.
Yeah.
You still want the garment, but you need to have terms that work for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But now what's even better about this technology is you pay now. You know, you get your garment now.
Yes.
So you labor now and get it now, and then you pay
as the you labor system it. You had to pay before you receive
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. So that you needed to be very disciplined.
Correct. Then. Yeah.
But now it's like because everyone is living on the go. There's a documentary, maybe you've watched it before. It says, buy more, spend more.
Yes.
Now. You know, that's what we are prompted to do everywhere.
Yes.
Wherever we go, or whether it's your when you open your phone, Google is listening to you.
Like, telling you, spend now, get money now. Yeah,
don't 50% wait for tomorrow, off. Baba. Tomorrow is not guaranteed.
Yes.
Young Tol. So that's what we are living on. And if you don't catch on those trends and have a head to actually understand, but okay, my market is moving in this direction. Let's move in that direction.
Yes.
You understand? So I think those are things that also corporate will teach you to say, okay, this is how the world works.
Mm.
How you run your organization, you also run it as a corporate entity, you know, because that's what you've been exposed to. And there is no loss in you leaving the corporate space and getting into this.
We're going to chat House of Ndu and suitability and the various branches.
Yeah.
We're going to quickly go to the comments, right? So we're going to watch a video here.
Right.
And then we read the comments on it and comment. I'm going to do my goals.
I feel yes.
Roll that one there, Wandi.
Do you know why I pulled you over just now, sir?
Sorry, I was speeding.
I'm going to have to write you a speeding
because test. My wife is giving birth to my babe, my son.
Hi. I was wondering if there are any mothers here who are giving birth to babies and there isn't a father.
A lot.
Thank God. That's excellent. Hey, hon. I'm trying to get out of a speeding ticket. Just play along until he leaves.
You're late.
Missing his son now, he's all alone.
All right. I'll let you off with
the Oh, that's a good one.
The comment said, the mom will tell the son one day, son, your father was adopted. Not you. No, that's it. That's no stepdad. That's a dad that stepped up. The cop was on an 18-year shift. And they said, at least that girl and that baby got a good life because of this cop.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm proud of the traffic officer. The theory is that the cop is the father of the woman, and he did this to make sure his grandchild is a good dad.
No, I think that's more feasible.
People are dumb. The cop never aged, though. Like, that entire clip, dude, he looked the same. He was the stereotype. Anyways. No, so, chat to me, Mganwam. So, House, do I understand? House of Ndu is the name of the brand.
Yes.
Suitability is your retail outlets. Or how does that work?
Okay. So, in 2016, the brand Suitability was born.
Right.
Right. So, what we do, there's a place in Joburg called Kwatunusa. Where you bend over, get old jackets.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'd go there, buy them.
What to Nusa?
Yeah, talk about Nusa.
What my mind?
North.
North. Oh, yeah, yeah, in town. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, you bend over, you get some proper jackets like tweed cashmere, nice stuff.
Right, right.
So I'll take it, get it reconditioned.
It's almost like, thrifty.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Okay. Yeah. So I'd go there. So when I'd walk to work, I mean, get to work, you know, even my managers would say, yo, your stuff is proper. You understand? I think we're paying you too much. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I like it. Then I...
This is stuff for you to wear.
Yeah, to wear at work, you know, because that was the point at the time, because I really wanted to wear a suit at work.
And you wanted to pull up.
Exactly, you understand? So what would happen is I started getting clients from that, you know? So I'm like... Why don't I make people pay for it?
Yes.
You understand?
Because they were like, where did you get this
jacket? I'm and not going to tell you what you told me to know.
No, of course not.
Come get it from me, my brother.
Well, now they know.
Now they know. So in hindsight. But so that's where the brand started. And then because of the creative limitations, I got to understand, but actually in South Africa, you can get a suit made. What? You know,
then, this is all new stuff to you.
Yeah. Then we built an entire bespoke suiting brand out of it.
Right.
Suitability. Interesting fact about the name. I was studying my actuarial exam. So there are board exams that you still write after varsity.
Yes.
And then
that's like your CETA.
Yes,
like your,
exactly.
Like how a CA would do their articles.
Their articles, exactly. So what this was about... there was a course, right? It was stochastic modeling. So where you build models that those forex traders use. All this, model being shy varsity, lentona le malambana le fail pop le understands black scholes models, moving averages, and I'm like,
when that time, you know how hard you studied, bro. This is the thing. Like, I think to myself, there's actuaries that study for 7 years. To get to where they are.
To understand.
And then
the
you
model.
Want to tell me that you understand the forex markets. Yeah. And
but it's, no, I'm just hating.
Yeah.
Nothing
look,
much.
I'm a top forex trader hater as well. Sorry, gents, but like, you know that you know you scam me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, so it spoke about the suitability of a model. How do you test the suitability of a model?
Mm.
I was like, oh, suitability. Oh, suit.
Suit, ability. Yes. There's a pun in there. Yeah.
Suitability. Mm. Oh, so it's custom and it's tailored for you.
Right.
Oh, suitability. That's where the name was coined.
Boom.
So that's where the brand Suitability comes from.
Yes.
But Suitability was based on a chassis of European type of style suits.
Yes.
You know?
Bespoke.
Bespoke.
Gentleman.
Exactly. Yeah. Then,
like the standard stuff.
100%.
Yes. So, like a grey suit.
A grey suit.
They say you must have
tuxedo,
these colors. Yeah.
That kind of thing. You
okay.
know?
I hope you can still make those. Me, I need those.
I know, of course. It's
quite enough. Just, then, you know, funerals, weddings.
Exactly. Court cases. And
court cases.
Like.
You know what I'm saying? I'm panagi.
So, and then time moves, right? I began to have a dream about, I want to showcase my art. In Paris.
Right.
And I was like, but in Tsenga, in Paris, because those guys, that's where those things come from.
True.
You know, I'm not going to be able to export anything that is not homegrown.
Yes.
At the same time, there was a question in my mind about where do I come from? Who am I?
Mm.
And my uncle, his name is Umlando Kona. So Advocate Kona is huge on history. He understands umnombo, utanguzana umnombo. So he traces the history of our people.
Right.
But okay, singama mfengu tina, where do we come from?
Yes.
Where does, okay, mfengus came from Zululand during umfetla. Okay, before then what happened? You know, oh, okay, there's the Ngunis.
Yes,
okay, cool.
Yes.
The Ngunis traveled from East Africa,
Yangtola. Yeah.
Then you understand the Itagazelo, Isdogo in this Xhosa, and you follow it up north, east. You know, then you start understanding, oh, okay, this is where the Bantu people came from. Oh, interesting, you know?
Mm.
I was like...
And what was he imparting all of this on you?
So at every event or every funeral, he's called up, you know?
Yeah, okay.
He's a young guy, 40, 42.
Yes.
You know, they call him up. They come and tell us, and old people learn from him.
Right.
So he's,
because he's a student of it.
He's a student of history. Mm. He understands those things. So I got very fascinated about that. And at the same time, my clients were demanding that we want to wear something homegrown.
Mm.
And they'll tell me, can you make a safari for me? I'll do that. You know. And then at this point, that's where we started formulating prints, you know, to say, okay, how do we envision a modern Bantu, living in modern South Africa, how they would rock who they are, you know?
So that they still stay true to tradition.
To tradition and still exist in a modern
society. 2025
Exactly. 20,
in the 20s.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's where the brand idea got formulated. Then Umtu is the root where the Bantu people come from, right? So Umtu is the father of all those Ngunis and Sotho Tswana languages and people from Congo, people from Kenya, people from Uganda, you get what I mean? So it connects all those people under one umbrella. So Umtu is, of course, there are many scholars who would say whatever they say about where the Bantu people come from.
Yes.
But this is the idea that I chose to follow because to me it's the most feasible, it makes the most sense. Now, what happens is with that idea of Umtu, right? There's like, okay, we're going to name the brand Ntu as a homage to our founding father. But now, there's a saying in isiXhosa, or isiZulu, it says Umtu ngumntu ngabantu.
Yes.
Which is, I am because you are.
Because you are, yeah.
So this is a philosophy.
Well, it's a person is because a person is.
So the philosophy is based on, I see you. That's why amaZulu say sawubona.
Mm.
It is a salutation to say, I see you.
I see you, yes.
You know, and I recognize you.
Mm.
And it's a spiritual greeting.
Mm.
Now you start understanding that Ubuntu is a universal language. That means that it is something that extends to not only the Bantu people, right? They are Nilots. People from West Africa, they are Kushites, you know, and they are Mongoloids.
Mm.
They are Caucasians, you know. So it is a universal language that links the entire world together.
Mm.
You understand? So it is an idea or a philosophy that amplifies our people and still understands. That's why, you know, Zulus would say, "Awumuntu." You know, that's the idea that I see umuntu means a black person.
Yeah.
UmZulu in particular.
Yes, so they'll say umuntu njengam.
Njengam, you know. But at the end of the day, when you say umuntu, you mean a person. And remember, umuntu was called umuntu before we were encountering other races. Now that we've encountered other races, we still call them abantu because reflect who
people.
We are.
Yeah.
You understand? So it is a philosophy that recognizes each and every person who lives as a spirit,
yes.
You know, in this world.
And it's all encompassing.
And it's,
yeah.
Yes. So that's where the brand is, ideology is based on.
I love that, man. And I love that you put so much thought into it and emphasis. You know, you didn't just say, let's call it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if I didn't know that story behind it, I'd only think of the pun or the play on words of suitability.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, sure.
And if I didn't know what you were saying now, I would just think it's House of Ntu. I wouldn't know where the origins come from.
Mm.
Is it important for you for that message to carry through? Because it's more than just clothes. I mean, it's,
yes. Mm. So House of Ntu, in fashion, you'll hear House of Gucci, House of Versace.
Yes,
you know it's how fashion brands are tabled.
Mm.
But House of Ntu It's a fashion brand, yes?
Yes.
But Indlu Kantu, that's what it means.
Is Indlu Kantu is Ntu's place.
Yes.
Yes.
Ntu's place, but in a deeper Xhosa meaning, when we say uvela kwindlu kabani, means which house are you
from? Which house are you from?
So which family are you from? So when you say Indlu Kantu, we mean the descendants of Ntu.
Yes.
So that's what it is, you know. So for me, tolerance or intolerance is a big thing in society. I don't care whether you are in South Africa, the US, right? Everyone doesn't tolerate each other, right? Xhosas don't tolerate Zulus. Well, is some,
and vice
right?
versa.
And vice versa. Yeah. Or that
tribalism.
You know, that kind of thing. You know what I mean? So,
think about me, dog. People are out just saying, hey, when I call
it. Yeah, like, you understand it. Get what I mean? So this thing is to actually link us together to a point whereby people don't understand where our history, what our history is, you know. People don't understand that there are tribes, KwaXhosa, which came from Zululand, and vice versa.
And vice versa,
you know, and people don't understand that there are tribes in Mozambique that are linked to the Tsongas in Limpopo. And there is, we are Mozambique, we are Patrao, you understand? And then it becomes a chain of intolerance. But the moment you start understanding who you are and understanding how things were done to separate people, to say,
and understanding us, what's that, what is that seam that unites us all.
Exactly. I mean, if you go to Soweto, Tsongas are in Shawelo. And then you see Mzimhlophe, they are Zulus. And everywhere, they made sure that everyone is segmented according to
separate people on tribal lines.
You understand that? You get what I mean? So it is something that made us understand that we are different. And wherever we go, we must understand who we are, that we are different. It has never been about pride, right? It has been about perpetuating that thing of difference.
Instead of perpetuating that thing of unity.
Unity, exactly.
Yes. What makes us more alike rather than what makes us different.
100%. Yeah.
So you launched Suitability. Now you're no longer going there. It's no more Guatunusa. You're now making your own signature pieces.
Yes.
And you've left the corporate job completely.
100%.
How difficult was it in the beginning? Did you have investment? Did you have your own money that you saved? Because we know actuarial sciences are boring. How difficult was that journey in the beginning?
So I started the business, 400 rand investment. You go to Tunusa, you buy a jacket for 70 rand. To dry clean it, it's about 100 rand. And to tailor it nicely, young taller. Packaging is 50 rand. Then the margins were that. Then I grew the business organically until then, you know. When I left my corporate job because of the fear and things that people would tell me, hey, kuraf langa pan, you know. I made sure that I prepay like my bonds for the farm
six
months in advance.
So that you didn't sit in a situation where now you
understand
back against the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
where is the farm?
It's in Walkerville.
In the south.
So that's where the venue Suitability Gardens is.
I see.
You know? So the idea there was to make sure that I've prepaid what I can, and then whatever, when we move, we just make sure that we remain in a prepayment state, you know. So, and I understood that during corporate, because we built models on, okay, if a person is in a prepayment state or is in a contractual state or is in an arrears state, right? So we built models based on that, you know.
So, prepayment is when you've paid 6 months in advance.
Yeah, even a month
is
before.
Paying now.
Yes, pay when you need to.
Pay when you need
to. And then in arrears, it means
you're in the hole.
You are, yes. So then there's the default state.
Farm is getting taken.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was very wary of those things. Say, no, if I get into a prepayment state, I can negotiate even when ish hits the fan. I can negotiate with the bank, say, hey, Bafit, Mamelan, I'm a dedicated client. I even prepaid for a certain, because that money that's prepaid, remember, it's not just sitting idly.
No.
It's being used to make more money. Is, yeah. You understand?
So it's, and a good, by thing. Being out of pocket with that money, especially in business,
yes,
you are taking a big risk because 100%. You might need that money now for other things, not yes. just for bonds, your overheads.
100%. Yeah. So for me, it was a very, but when I speak of callings, right? When I literally left my job, our revenue multiplied by more than 500%, you know?
Just by you dedicating the time.
You understand that? So I was like, shoot, the universe understands that, no, this person is putting everything that they have into this.
Yes, and needs to be here.
They need to be there, and it grows, you know? So that's the... That's been my experience, you know. But business has been tough. We've grown a lot since then. Our commitments are a lot bigger than they were then. Our staff complement has grown, you know, by a very significant number. Mm. So things are not getting any easier, because also we have to go through recessions, and you need to understand that this type of business, you need to hedge it with other investments, right? Mm. So that if you've got overheads, what do? You've got fixed income that you can align it with those overheads.
With those overheads. So that if there's no 500% spike in business over these 2 months, you're not dying.
100%, yeah.
You see that there's a lot more layers to business. I think, you know, like you say, you had a calling. And a dream, yes. You know, we all do. But I don't think, oftentimes people don't approach it with a brain to 100%. Say, how am I actually going to make it work?
Yes.
You know, it's wonderful to say what you want in the end. That's great. Mm-hmm. But how to achieve it, I think, takes a little bit more thinking. And it sounds like you clearly with the actuary brain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What tip would you give to people wanting to chase their passion, follow their dream in terms of getting into business? What are some of the core lessons that you learned?
I think the most recent lessons I've learned is doing your due diligence properly.
Mm.
Understand the industry that you're getting into. Understand the ins and the outs of that industry. Understand your financial projections.
Mm.
Understand your numbers. There is nothing charming like a gentleman or a lady who understands their numbers when it comes to a business, because a business is based on numbers.
Mm.
People may use emotions to buy into whatever you're doing, but the biggest thing is the numbers. If you're looking for an investor, you need to understand your numbers. Whether you're speaking to a bank about,
a loan,
maybe a loan, you need to understand your numbers. So I think that's the biggest thing that I would say: due diligence and understand your numbers.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now so suitability starts, right?
Yeah.
And now you're blowing up. Where was the big break? Like, who would you say was the first person who noticed where you were like, damn, we are on, you know?
So I think the biggest break was when we were featured on a top billing model.
Okay.
On a top billing wedding.
Yes.
So we dressed the two grooms, right, for that wedding, right? So it was Richard and Carson.
Mm.
Yeah. So they were getting married at a venue in Pretoria. They came to us like, you know,
and those, the top billing was...
Top billing was happening. Top billing. Yes, yeah. And I don't think we've replaced it with anything.
No, we haven't.
At that level.
Top billing was like, you know, I was on Live Amp for 5 years,
yeah,
4 years. Biggest music show in the country.
Yes, yes,
right?
Yes.
We're killing it on Fridays. My mom knew.
Yeah.
But I had one top billing interview with my radio co-host at the time, Tumi Foster.
Yes.
Bro, I swear, the whole family knew. It was like headline news that, yo, you're top billing, dog. What were you doing? And we were just there, like, we spent the day together with them. You know, they followed me and Tumi. So
nice.
Some stuff I do, some stuff Tumi does. And when the episode came out, it was like, ow. You weren't at a wedding. You weren't like you. Were, top billing was known for weddings, showing the best houses, travel.
Yep.
You're right. We haven't replaced it with another stalwart of South African entertainment that covers those things.
100%. Yeah.
So you were dressing the grooms.
The grooms there. And what happened was we got interviewed. Well, I got interviewed. Mm. I'm speaking like Floyd now. I need to learn not to speak in plurals. I I got interviewed
there
yeah. You know, I got interviewed, and you know, from then on, the business that came through, you know, was insane.
Yes.
So that was a huge, huge break for us, you know.
Plus, it's that stamp of credibility.
100%. To say, yeah, to man, say, oh, no, this
guy's
happening. Top
Bling chose you.
100%.
Yeah, they could have gone to any designer.
Anyone,
yeah.
You know, and then that's where, and I think the people that always put us up were our clients.
Mm.
You know, they made a big deal out of the brand, Suitability.
Mm.
You know, they would make noise about, I'm wearing Suitability. So I think that was huge for us. You know,
yeah.
But now when it came to the venue,
yes, Suitability Gardens.
So the venue was meant to be a complimentary offering, right? Because we got a lot of wedding clients. Like, why not create a wedding venue for those people?
Right. These are people who come and say, "I'd like you to make my suit."
Suit
for my,
exactly. Yeah. So that's where the wedding venue idea came through. Mm. So we started growing that wedding venue.
And this is the farm that you bought.
Yeah, this is the farm. Yeah, so I was staying there, you know.
You're?
I'm like, hey.
And working in
Zenton. I'm still working, by the way, at the time. But it was, it grew, you know. I think I need to give a shout out to Nono Events.
Yes.
Nono Events set us up.
I see.
Huge time. You know, they brought one event. It was Natasha Tane's baby shower.
Oh, wow.
They came through. People lost it.
Yeah.
Like, yo, that place is beautiful.
Yeah.
They'd come there.
And because it's in Walkerville, you don't just drive past it casually. You've got to see it somewhere to believe that, yo.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
When people drove there, it's a hidden,
gem.
Yeah, we use words like it's nested in there. Yeah, you know, to justify why you don't know about it.
Yeah,
why when you're driving there, you're just passing trees.
Yes,
because
Walkerville is like,
what are you doing in Walkerville?
Yeah,
it's wild, you know. And when I took a practitioner, a tourism specialist, to that place, he told me, if I have to fund a project that you're going to do, I'll do it with my eyes closed.
Mm.
Because for what you've managed to do with this space, so hidden, I can trust you with anything. Because the place is so hidden. But
you're
people,
not just going to get foot traffic.
Oh, no, no, there's no foot traffic there, you know? And the people around are just equestrian farmers who just minding their horses.
They actually just want to be left alone.
Yeah, and like, why are you bringing people here, man? Mm. You know? So,
and now the venue hosts. So is it exclusively for Suitability clients?
No.
Or Vale, the venue is open for weddings?
So it's open for weddings.
Functions, yeah.
Yeah, we host productions, TV productions. Mm. They shoot weddings there. There are shows that come there. And Abom Selegu, they do their shows there.
Yes.
It's a huge thing, you know. I think the main thing is trying to align, because a wedding venue needed huge investment, was to try and align.
You've got
our
to build everything
brand
from the ground up.
100%.
There,
there's just a piece of land.
Piece
so,
of land.
That's what we've been working on, and I think it's. It's actually a bigger brand than Suitability itself now, you know.
It's its own thing. Man.
Yeah, it's its own. It's got its own.
For everyone asking, saying, please give back the Lansing's wheel. You can't do anything with Cross. Yeah.
For sure.
So it's its own brand. It's its own venue.
Yes.
It's run. It's, and now it's another business. Like
100%.
You say, these other things are seasonal.
Yes.
So you did Top Billing. That was what, 2018, 17?
That was 2018.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, okay, Top Billing hasn't been replaced, but you are on Shaka Ilembe. What is the deal with Shaka Ilembe? Because that's now, bro, that thing, that is a huge show.
Yeah. So I think the
and
first
And you are
season.
The guy. They gave you Mkhele to come home.
So
the
first season of Shaka Ilembe, there's a gentleman, Wise Man, Ngube, and Abdul Khoza.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, no, can you hook us up with some nice outfits?
Mm.
Ntu was still very young then.
Yes.
Then
because that's under Ntu.
Ntu, yes. So like, okay, come through. Let's make something crazy.
Mm.
We made outfits that trended for, they're still trending today.
Till now,
you know, those outfits were insane.
Mm.
We went to the premiere and people just raved about those outfits. Then when season 2 came, you know, quite a few guys, and there are guys who actually, we got outfits made, but there were that emergencies that they couldn't attend the premiere. But we went there, we dressed the stars, and it was insane. When I got to the red carpet, right, like, what are you wearing? Oh, House of Ndu, I'm the creative director. It's like, yeah. I'm like, now tell us about this brand. And
yes,
that was a highlight, you know. And ever since that premiere, it's less than a month ago, we've been getting, you know, sure, calls, people yes. come through, we want to do this, we've got something cultural.
Yes.
Because
our request coming through now for all the cultural stuff. That
exactly.
Because, you know, the uncle you told us about, you yes. see now how that value of his story.
100%.
Yes.
Yes.
Sort of comes full circle.
100%. Yeah. So for me, it's like, oh, wow. So we want to be proponents of our history. Mm. We want to be known to, you know, this is our history encapsulated,
mm.
you know. So they calling us to all those places. And for me, it's a very humbling type of, mm. you know, exposure, because it gets me to learn who we are
mm.
and at the same time be able to, you know, spread the word about our brand.
Yes, yeah. yes. How important is it for the brand to be, I would say, culturally accurate?
Yeah.
You know, you want to get stuff right. You know, I remember yes. during the time, when was it? Like 2021, mm. When the Zulu King yes. passed away, right? Yes. There was a lot of coverage of the Amabutho and stuff, yeah. you know, like.
Yes,
and
yes.
For me, the last time I'd even seen Amabutho, like, was, I grew up in Freyd, like yes. I was saying, and this was like 94,
yeah.
you know, during the ANC IFP yes. thing, yeah. there would be these IFP marches where Kwela Mabutho, maybe like 10,000 would march into town, yeah, yeah, you know. And I was like 8 years old or whatever, yeah. 7 years old at the time. So for me, I was like, whoa, what's going on, you know, mm. type of thing. This was now 25 years later, or however long it's been since then, 30 years later.
Yes.
And on TV, they were almost forced to cover what's going on here.
Yeah.
Who's wearing what? Now, umkilicha.
Yeah.
Umtidiyeli wa
mabutho.
And umkilicha ukogain. You know? And in the interviews with umkilicha, I've seen on YouTube, you yeah. know, like when they go on interviews.
He passed, by the way.
He did pass, yeah, the late yeah. umkilicha.
Yeah.
I love that time.
Yeah,
he was, like, he was just so straight. You're yeah. a badass, bro.
For sure.
And, you know, when they, the first thing he kind of like insists, not insists, but it's sort of insinuated that they must ask about is his dress.
Yes, yes,
you
yes,
know,
yeah, for sure.
And it's like, hey, I'm nandi bamgilicha, and then he goes through each item that he's wearing and uh-huh. where this is from, where that's from.
Yeah.
So, you know, those who know will know if you've just put together like a skin and a headdress.
100%.
Versus what is on this, which who wears what.
Yes.
So how important is it for you to be accurate with that type of stuff? And what sort of specialists do you bring in to inform you?
Okay, so I think it's very complicated.
Mm.
So I'll give you context, right? The brand, because it's umXhosa, is based on what I grew up under.
Right.
So, an event or whatever, you wear your beads. So beads are a print, you know, something similar to this, but it would be maybe black and white or other colors, or it could be sky blue, white, red, or orange, yellow, whatever, right? So that is where the what you call the cultural dress was based on,
right.
you know? So nembimbako for the ladies and all that. As you grow up and understanding that, and you build a brand based on that, because that's what inspires the actual brand Ndu, right?
Right.
You actually go back in time and understand, but when were beads invented
right,
into
right.
our Xhosa culture?
Because you are now covering, well, at least when you're going back.
Yes.
You, for the purposes of the show, you're essentially trying to think, what were people wearing in 70s?
Exactly,
Ndu?
Yes. Right. And then you start understanding that, okay, beads were, you know, were brought in by Islamic traders,
right.
you know, through the Delagoa Bay.
Mm.
I think that's in Mozambique.
Mozambique,
that's
yeah.
where that, those were the north, ports yeah. that they were bringing in those things.
Mm.
And ceramics and all those things, you know. And then those things were assimilated into our culture.
Mm.
Right. Give you an example. Culture is interesting. It's dynamic.
Mm.
I went to a funeral after not having gone to funerals in the Eastern Cape
for a while. Yeah.
After COVID, I never went. Mm. The first time I went was last year.
Mm.
I get there, you know, so I slept over in East London. The funeral was at Duja. So I had to drive. And then I got there at 8:30.
In the evening?
In the morning.
Yes.
And then I'm shown the grave. Yeah, we're done.
Oh, the funeral's over.
Yes.
Yeah. And after then, you made the altar.
I'm like, the funeral is over. Yeah. I'm like, you know, it's already buried. We're done. We're just going to go to the service now.
All right.
What? Is there something new? It's like.
Yeah. It's usually service.
No, it's culture. I'm like, culture. Okay, sharp. I know. Then someone comes, during COVID, because people had to do many funerals, so we had to start off by doing the burial.
Mm.
You know? So that has taught me one thing. But culture is dynamic.
Mm.
You know, there are things that you can say, this is a closer head dress or whatever, but when did it start? Mm. Is it really, can't you create new trends now that are linked to the people?
And can culture not evolve?
100%.
Sort of like evolve with the times while still respecting the heritage.
100%. Yes. So that's where we need to come in, right? And if you look at the greatest nations ever built, they were built by people who appreciate other people's culture and assimilate it as their own, like the United States.
Right.
So that's what...
Well, actually, I'm glad. I'm interesting you say that. There's an interview of Vladimir Putin with Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
And obviously, Tucker Carlson was there to interview him about, are you going to nuclear bomb the world or not? Right? So that's kind of the subject of the interview. But I watched the whole thing. I like Putin. I think he's a big boss.
Phenomenal guy.
Right? If you watch the whole interview, he goes into the history of Russia.
Okay.
Right? Right back, like he's going back like 5,000 years type of thing, you know? Yeah. And he's like, no, you don't understand. This land was like this before.
Mm.
And when he's speaking to a lot of what you're saying, the evolution of culture.
Yes.
You know, there's a point where it says to Tucker something along the lines of, now I'm not saying we must jump on horses and go and invade.
Yes.
But in 2025, it doesn't mean that we are going to throw away all of that.
Yes.
Because we don't want to fight a war. If you want to fight a war, we'll have to fight a war. Because culturally, we come from here.
Mm.
And Tucker's kind of trying to say, but I mean, you're not going to. And he's like, no, it doesn't mean because you're looking at this headdress in 17th century terms.
Yes.
It cannot be applied in 2025 terms. That 100%. Is the evolution of culture.
Yes.
And who else is going to do it? Yes. You know, if we just say, oh, no, you can't do that. We've got to stick to what we did 100 years ago.
Mm.
It's, oftentimes it's just not possible. Yes. It's not sustainable.
Yeah.
100%. So I think that's beautiful, man. So, carry on. So that's where or at least the thinking comes from.
Yes. So there is need because, the Afrikaners, for example, they are worried about their culture being eroded.
Yes.
And it's a genuine concern.
Mm.
And for us, even Abantu, our cultures can get eroded, because I remember in the mid-2000s, we had our older cousins who, when their kids visit us, elokshin, because they had made it, they go to private schools and barin
ngamla. Yeah. And they come through now.
Yeah, but figure la payana. Then like, yeah, no, don't speak that with my sons. I'm confuser.
Yeah.
You know? and you're like, now I'm thinking about it years later. I'm like, hey Maravele. Why?
Yeah, why?
That's who this child is.
Yeah.
Bro,
I do that with my kids. I'm like, hey, don't hang out with the colors.
Hey, brother. It's like, but this is who they are.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's what is going to propel them forward, because it's their identity, fortunately, not unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know?
And the team that you're working with there, Chaka Ilembe, how would you say that's going? Like, no pressure? Or like, it's a team where everybody's ideas are shared around the table?
Yeah. So I think...
Or is there pressure where it's like, hey, if we get it wrong,
No. So... To be fair, it's not the official Shaka Ilembe. It's people, individuals within the...
So there is
an actual costume designer for Shaka Ilembe. So now we were just involved in the premiere.
Okay,
red carpet, well, the gold carpet. This is where we bring in all the guns, So everyone was very open to say, this is what we want. This is our what you call theme.
Mm.
Work your magic, And then you're like, say no more. And then we went crazy. Mm. You know, we're bringing in animal skin, leopard skin, you know, we're bringing in different textures of cloth, fur made of leopard skin or a leopard print, you know. Mm. So that's where the vibe was coming from. And we drove the entire creative process.
Mm.
Yeah,
I love that. Where would you say we are, like, as South Africa? In terms of, like you said, you know, when you started making suits, they were just suits, which is a European thing.
Yes.
Now the demand is coming in to say, I want to wear this European thing, but I want it to represent me. Yes. I don't want to appear as though I could be from London.
Yeah.
I want people to know ukuthi ngumXhosa or ngumZulu.
Yeah.
Is that something that you see that's on the rise? Because I think, you know, South Africa, I think globally, whether it's for the wrong or the right reasons, we are trending.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
We train for music. I mean, PH and I always speak on the show that Afro music, that's our sound.
100%.
It's just been exported, you know?
Yes.
And we had, who was here going to? Tulani, ne? Yeah, talking about how we need to be the custodians of that.
Yes.
Because what's happening is that, I don't want to say it's been culturally appropriated because it's not. Music is music. Yes. Fashion is fashion.
100%.
But it's like some of the biggest events in the world that are playing our music. Yes. We don't own them. In fact, we have no involvement. They 100%. Just call us and say, how's it? Come play. We DJ there. We go home.
Yeah.
But when we get to these shows, we're like, yo, these people have turned this thing of ours into this massive, you know, globally relevant thing.
Yes.
In the same way with fashion, it's like you don't want a situation where they steal our stuff.
Yes.
And they say, oh, they're making suits. Oh, that's great. Let's put a couple of these patterns on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now you see the thing at Milan Fashion Week and you're like, oh, I was bizarre.
Yeah. So I think I need to give a shout out to Maxhosa, the brand.
You know? Oh, Laduma was also here. Yeah.
Oh, serious?
Laduma also came through and he checked us out. He was actually telling us about the fashion weeks. And,
wow, nice. You know, they've done something very huge.
Mm.
Our goal is to move and transport or export our products, our fashion, our identity. Mm. You know, what they've done, pushing their brands internationally.
Yes.
That's huge,
you
know? And for people to actually consume our products overseas, go to New York and then you can consume iMaXhosa.
Yes.
That's huge.
Massive,
you know?
Yeah.
It's not something that we can take lightly.
Mm.
And for us, we need to be at the forefront, right? And music, because music is our way of doing things.
Yes.
It tells our stories better than anything else can ever do, including fashion as well. Mm. So I think it is very important for us to be at the forefront, to move. And, you know, even amapiano, there's always this battle between Nigeria and South Africa.
Yes,
you know, say, so you guys are stealing
what I mean.
Our,
yes, like, you're stealing our
like,
thing.
No, guys, you know.
Even with Afro, like they tried it, you know.
You get what I mean?
It's like, no, guys, that yabol, that drum.
Yeah, Libuya, yeah, you understand. Yes. But our problem is we do not have proper ambassadorship in terms of exporting. Nigeria is wild. It's got 200 million people, I think, who can export these things. Like, yeah, no, twala. Go to London.
They export
they are
the real
it.
Version, the fake version, all the versions.
Young twala. So there is there is a need for us to, because fashion in South Africa is the hugest thing. If you see all the startup techs, look at even those pages now and all those techs that are pushing.
Yes.
It's all fashion driven.
Yeah.
It's fashion driven.
Mm.
Yeah, you'll find it, you know, macro and all those things, but it's always fashion driven.
Mm.
Fashion is a huge thing. Production in South Africa, contrary to popular belief, it's rising.
Mm.
You know, people are trying to build homegrown brands.
Mm.
We've got people who print our fabrics, create our fabrics. We've got a fabric that's woven in South Africa.
Mm.
It's got our logo.
Locally made.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they literally take threads or yarns and they wove it into a fair. It's insane. You know,
and nobody knows that
nobody
that's
knows
going on because,
you know, and my wish is that the government would intervene a lot more vigorously and say, okay, you know what, we see what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get
and
what I
mean?
Exactly.
That's my thing, man. I said it on that other show. I was like, we need to be the custodians of this thing. 100%. All of us need to look after it. You understand? Yes. If I am lucky enough to be invited to flipping, I don't know, wherever in the world, yeah, to attend something, Jeff Bezos' wedding.
Yes.
Bro, I need to pull up. You understand? I need to come and see you and say, Mpanagit, this is where I'm going.
Yeah.
Let's rock. I can't now go and see which French brand.
Ah.
You understand? Now I want to rock up there wearing Gucci.
100%.
You know, I think, you know, Americans always think they're better than everyone. Yeah. But like, bruh. They'll never have that thing that we have,
exactly,
where I can rock up there dressed by House of Ntu.
Yeah.
And you understand, it gets more attention than if I come in LVMH, you know?
Yeah.
Even, you know, Pharrell is doing his thing, and shout out to him, but he's doing his thing for someone else's thing. We should be the custodians of our culture and exporting it to 100%. The world. Government definitely doesn't do enough. Yeah. I think people actually don't get how big it is.
Yeah, no.
You know, like we're saying, what La Duma has done is massive.
Yes, yes.
And they say it's massive, and they're like, wait for you at the airport when you get home to take a photo.
Yeah.
But like, you know what I'm saying? What are you really doing?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What action are you taking to really support the brand? Especially, I mean, like, look at yours.
Yeah.
You know, the brands that are doing things on a global, like a world-class, world level.
Yeah.
You know, you're not playing around here. Believe it or not, Workerville is not just a farm. It's going off.
Yeah, there's a kid. Her name is Zulaika. She trended, I think, almost 10 years ago, I think. Mm. She had this afro. And they were protesting at school. You can't have.
Yes,
you remember.
Yes, the girls' school.
The girls' school. Yes. You know, it's like, no, your hair must be, you know, young tall.
And it must be neat.
It must be neat. Yeah. It mustn't look like it's got wings and it wants to fly.
Yeah.
You understand? So that's Uzuleika. And they pushed something crazy then. Mm. And they were kids. Now, we're in Africa.
Yeah.
This is the hair defies gravity. That's how it stands. It just wants to stand. It's coiled in jail.
That's how it is.
You get what I mean? And
that's why I keep mine like this.
Yeah, boy, no, we're safe.
I'll do it. I used to have an afro. Serious. To tie it back, But you know, to tie it back was a mission.
It's a mission. Yes. You understand that you have to wake up and you have to commit and fight coils and all that jazz.
Of course, you have to hit the sheen straight if you want to braid it.
100%. And what I've seen about our counterparts in West Africa is you go into a corporate space, business meeting, or even the head of state, they rock up in the Ampura. You understand that? They know it's a business meeting. I do not care. I'll rock up in Ampura. Mm. That's who I am.
This is who I am.
You get what I mean? Mm. Corporate bankers in South Africa, you cannot rock up in an Ntu suit or let's say then your navy suit and an Ntu shirt.
Yeah.
Colorful. No, that's too colorful.
That's it.
You understand? We need to push to actually live who we are.
Mm.
You know,
be proud of it.
And the society, maybe in the US it must be a different story. But here, if you're in South Africa, you need to be able to rock up in a business meeting with international guests in a Ntu garment.
I love that.
Because the decorum cannot be someone else's standard.
No, it can't.
Bro. Yeah.
And that, if we allow that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What does Zimasa say? Zimasa says we're seeding ground, you know?
Yes.
We're allowing it a little bit too much.
Yes.
Especially now that, like you said, the universe is saying, hey, the world likes your shit.
Yeah.
Do more of it.
Yeah.
Now is the time to say, actually, for a long time we were doing this other stuff because we thought we should conform to the world.
Yes.
Now, there's no need to conform to the world. This is who we are, type of thing.
100%.
You are doing it, Mganwam.
Get out. Dunking of
come inside.
Yeah. Sure.
What's next for House of Ntu? I know suitability is all over the place. I saw your video in Mhlanga.
Yes, yes.
You've got one in Joburg, Mhlanga.
Yes, and then Cape Town.
And Cape Town as well.
Yeah, yeah. So I think for House of Ntu, we're going to be pushing it quite a bit to get people to know about it. But I think for it, it's a passion project for me, man. I just want people to know more about themselves.
Right.
You know, I want to bring to request Uwaras to come through. Tell me about your people. Mm. You know, tell me what you know about your people.
The gangsters.
You know, and understand where those problems come from because people were not
Al Capone suits. Yeah,
you know, you would actually understand. You should understand. Okay, why are people living like this?
Mm.
Why do people resort to gangsterism?
Mm.
You understand and trace back, okay, oh, this is where things went wrong, you know? And if you understand those things, it becomes a lot easier for you to impart knowledge or, you know, understanding for people to say, okay, guys, maybe we should try things this way.
Mm.
Or maybe if your child is born, then this is, because the unfortunate part is people are born into this, you know? Itamala kumalingena. Yabona, makinkiliziti everywhere. You understand there are guns in the house. And, you know, it's like people in Mexico, you know, they are born into a space where there are cartels. You get what I mean? And they look up to these gangsters. Go to Soweto. Soweto, I think, has grown tremendously. You know, in the early 2000s, you know, gangsters were revered.
Big
you
time.
Know, 325 IS, you know. 325
Bro, I bought one. Like, I went and I bought one from this guy. He was in jail.
Yeah.
And his family was selling his box BM.
Yeah.
But it was like a legendary box. Wow. Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Everybody knew it.
Yeah.
And it hadn't been seen for like 10 years.
Because it'd been...
He's in jail. Oh. He said, park my car in the garage.
Jesus.
No one must drive my car type of thing.
Yeah.
And then I think this guy was like his younger brother or younger cousin.
Mm.
You know, the family was like, I know that guy, he can't tell us anymore. And then I'm like, hey, but what is he going to say? You know, because that guy, big name guy. They're like, no, he died. I'm like, oh, he died? They're like, yeah, he died in prison.
I'm right? Shame, man.
He got sick, he died. So now he's selling his
shit. I'm safe, Baba. Right?
Yeah. So I'm safe, I'm going to die. And I got that car, it had 4 bullet holes.
Eyeball.
And I never fixed them. I said to my bro at the time, Dan, I was like, nah, bro, we can't fix these holes. You know, this car belonged to this dude.
Yeah.
It's an iconic
it's
car.
It's an iconic car.
You know? And at the time, I was also like, yo, I'm driving this guy's car type of thing, you know? Anyway, so I made it. But like you say, you know, if there would be places that you'd go and people would be like, isn't this so-and-so's car?
Yes.
You know?
And then you get respected for
you
it,
you get
actually.
Respected for it type of thing, you know? Yeah. Look, I fucked the car up. Yeah. I was using it as a spin BM. But
sure.
It served me well.
Yeah.
You know, but you're right. Those are the things that we revered.
Yes.
In the 2000s, early 2000s, going up until like the 2010s. We have evolved a lot.
So I think that's where that's where we need to see ourselves.
Mm.
You know, even cultures that are still stuck in a... And, you know, where there's no political will, it becomes a bit of a problem where, you know, these things can be stopped. You know, if people really want to do, this thing must stop and people need to drive. And it's usually prominent people who need to drive those things. So I'll give you an example. I was chatting with one of my clients, is Tsonga.
Mm.
And I was actually telling him that, you know, when we were growing up in Soweto, people used to be ashamed to say, hey, I'm from Shawelo.
Right.
You know, and then there's this guy called Kentsan, you know, and he was from there. And, you know, it would always be a thing, which even when his mom calls, he wants to mute the phone that we don't hear her, that she's speaking Tsonga.
Mm.
That's how bad it was. You know, people were always looking down upon them.
Yes.
You know, and he was a kid, but now he's a lot more loud about who he is.
Mm.
And it's nice. But what you end up understanding is that for us, to actually come out and be proud of who we are, there are people who need to step forward, you know, prominent people.
Yes.
Say, hey, mean, I'm proudly Tsonga, or I'm proudly what?
I'm
you
proudly
know,
Zulu.
I understand. Yes. You see, Zulus, for example, I'm a Zulu. You know, you greet them in suits. It's like, no, I was Kulumi
Zulu. No, vele, Zulus are not shy.
And the thing is, it's because of the prominence of the names, you know, that have created that thing about, no, I'm a Zulu and we are proud of it.
Mm.
And it's people who are prominent who need to drive those things and not shy away from that space.
Yes,
you know,
and
it's
Nkani.
Exactly. No, I can't speak about that.
Mkilicha. They asked him in an interview, they said, manje bab Mkilicha. Bati uZulu nenkani. And then he's like, ushubalo. You know, like he just switches it up. Then he's like, cha, uZulu yahlonipha. Utume ngokuhlonipha. You know?
Yeah.
And I thought it was that little sentence. This is the guy, you know, like he's the Zulu.
Yes, oak. yes.
And he was like, no. uZulu tuma
sweet.
End of answer to question. You know what I mean? Like he didn't even give an explanation.
Yeah.
He was just like, who said that?
that guy?
And then because it's him, you know, the interviewer,
yeah,
the dude in Clara Productions on YouTube. Shout out to that guy.
Yeah.
You must, that I love his content because, like, that page, it covers, like, it tries to keep, it goes like emakhaya to cover weddings of Usman Bani. Okay. Not even like anybody
ordinary
famous
people,
or anything. No, yeah, that guy is a big deal there in flipping Lowsburg or Ladysmith.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be like, "Ay, namhlanje this is a Ladysmith, mnambithi. We're coming to the wedding of Usbu Chabalala, Usbu Siso, or whatever." Yeah. You know what I mean? And then you meet the guy and it's like, who's he marrying?
Mm.
I love it because it's just telling real stories of real people.
Nice.
It's not like Netflix level production, but very entertaining. And nice. Their crew was interviewing Umkilija like at his home. And they're like, "Abatuzulu nenkani. Can you believe it, you know?" And he's like, "Who said that?" Uzulu yahlonipha. End of, like, you didn't even get into like a back and forth.
Wild.
Yeah, but you're right. We need to be proud of who we are, regardless of what tribe you come from.
Yes, yes.
Because as you say, like, you know, the origin story of House of Ntu is that we are actually all united 100%. In some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So, no, I love that, my brother. Thanks for coming through. You're the man.
Thank you very much.
What's next for you? Where should we check you out? It's Durban July. Go on,
yeah, Durban July. It's happening. Yeah, we've got a few guys that have got garments by us.
Nice.
So please just look out for those wild prints.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because my wife always says, "Hey, those prints look like our 2-year-old drew them." Like, what's that? Bring that.
Tell
her
you don't get it. You don't see the vision. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, no, Durban July. I won't be attending.
Okay.
You know how many Durban Julys I've been to?
I can imagine,
bro. Like 10.
When they were called VDJ, Vodacom Durban July.
Right. Yeah. Vodacom Durban July. And I remember watching it on TV when it was the Rothmans Cup.
Oh, nice.
It's unbelievable. Like, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to seeing who you're dressing there.
Nice.
Who is there that you would like to dress one day? Who would
John
be
Carney.
The ultimate? John Carney. Okay, it's cool.
Proponents of...
Kitty, call him. Call him now. Ngibongile ndaye. Sivala nge WhatsApp leaks.
Eyithala. Uthi bathi.
Uthi inumbuzi. Yo.
Hey, Utre, Wednesday. I know. Peacekeeper mama. Peacekeeper. Yo, I know. Mukhodu Monday. Hey, peacekeeper.
Yo,
Mukhodu. I know. Hey. Edina, nikhiseni. Little Spuda! Little Spuda! Singy Kennepal! Ay! I'm Sengi! Here's today's WhatsApp leak! Only our class had been given the memo before the final matric exam, secretly. The teacher said, "Don't talk! We need 100% pass rate this year!" Tula! We all acted clueless during the test, but everybody had answers. Now they're calling us the best class. If only they knew. What's the goal? What's the level? What's the queen? What's the clock? What's the goal? What's the man? If only they knew. What's the goal? If this leaks, the whole school's in deep clock. Bah.
The whole school. Mbuzi the sheep. So, I don't know what school that is, but, you know, there's always, every year there's talks of papers leaking.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've actually thought to myself, look, if you, you can matriculate, right? But when you get to varsity in Njengobushilo, you, even if you've got all the answers for that matric paper, cool, you'll get across there. But I promise you, if you haven't put the effort into actually learning the stuff you're writing about, this man can tell you, Zofigarago, actuarial science with 5 distinctions and get 15%.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Would you have taken a leaked paper when you were in school?
I would have never, eh? Because, you know what?
You didn't have to dog your genius. Some of us are puzzling. I would have taken a leaked paper for those 2 B's I got.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Yeah, I'm for me.
So, I think it's Ichaive corner is that, you know, Aban don't understand, these things always catch up, man. Young taller, you can win Fandach, Kutu, you are the best class, ne? But when it department is the one that's marking your papers, because when I'm a test, I think
yes.
it goes to it department,
it goes to
and
the
then
department,
it department marks then ya catch again, young understand. Then like no,
it's not worth it.
It's not the one. Yeah. So young Tola, it's always best in Yazin, just do it the correct way. Of course, there are times where you gotta cheat.
Yeah, I know there are. And that cheating is called ChatGPT. Yeah,
exactly.
Because dude, ChatGPT is spoiling people, eh?
Yeah, yeah, no.
People are ChatGPTing their question and answers and then they're putting it in their own words.
Exactly.
You know, I sat with the woman I was telling you off air.
Yeah.
That basically into the input she says, try not to sound like an AI.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
And I used that document.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, this is dope,
who's gonna
man.
Know?
Yeah. Yo, I can't do anything better.
During our
this.
Time at Varsity, there was that thing called Turn It In.
Turn It In, yes, your plagiarism.
I'm interested to see what's in AI. Never.
Veluti,
no, this thing is going on. Turn It In. Make sure, Baba.
You can tell the AI that. Yeah, exactly.
I was like, I'll say no more.
I know.
You know,
listen, fashion is weird. And AI can't make fashion. AI sure. doesn't understand culture. What? It's making fashion now?
Yo.
What?
Renditions.
Yes.
People are selling garments from renditions. And then I'm about to go and show the product and the rendition. No, I mean, I bought this rendition. Hey, the product is
it's looking
else.
Like Timo.
Sure.
Thanks for coming through. All the best. And all the best to Durban July coming up and everything with the brand. We'll
appreciate it, my
up.
Brother.
Please
this
remember me. I just need some European suits. So, yes, I love. That's us. We're back again next week, same time, same place. PH will be back. Take it easy. If it's easy, take it home. Like, subscribe, donate. I'll put my bank details on. I need some suits, dog. I want to get some suits going. You know what I mean? We're out of here.
Cheers.